Back with you on Thursday, February 4th, 2021 on Connecticut Today. We heard from Governor Ned Lamont his latest news regarding the state's battle with the coronavirus pandemic. Dr. Kevin Sabat joined us just after the news at 5 p.m. from Smart Approaches to Marijuana. That's a group outside of D.C. who wants to make sure that big tobacco companies don't get their claws in on all these states, including maybe Connecticut, that are legalizing recreational pot.
Our infections are going down and our vaccinations are going up. Hospitalizations are down, good capacity our hospitals. Fatalities trending down, still desperately too much. The vaccine update. Connecticut's number four nationally. Josh is upset that we slipped the number because we had to lay off for about a day and a half given the snowstorms, but we will be catching up again by the Sunday, the end of this week. We have about half of our cohort of 75 and above who have been vaccinated to date with their first vaccination. That's extraordinary. A total of 460,000 in total. Other thing you may want to see here is our allocations continue to trend up. The state allocation is up about 5% week over week. That's about 64,000 vaccinations a week, plus 12% for the direct-to-pharmacy program. That's about another 11,000. Those are the CVS, the Walgreens, and the such. We can talk about that in a minute. The next chart. Just give you a little idea of the dosages and the variability there. This goes back to middle of December when we were just starting out getting people vaccinated. The yellow are the traditional health systems getting out to the general population through local health departments, pharmacies. And the blue is what we were doing in terms of the long-term care, the nursing homes in particular. So as you can see, over the course of the last month, the blue is disappeared as everybody has gotten their first dose and almost everybody has gotten their second dose at the nursing homes and increasingly at the hospitals as well. And now you see the yellow, which is broadly speaking what's going out to the general population. You can see scheduling is not easy because the numbers have been bouncing around a little bit. That spike you see on January 18th was a going away present from the Trump administration, giving us the extra 50,000 doses. With President Biden, you can see the numbers are trending up on a pretty consistent basis, which is, really good news. The federal pharmacy, you'll see, is an increasing ramp up there as well. I got to tell you, Governor Bill Lee and myself, as we help lead the governor's task force, we had a good conversation with Pfizer again the other day. Pfizer is part of our homegrown talent. We like to consider them. And, they gave us some good news. They told us that, look, originally the federal government made a reservations for 100 million doses. Now they double that down for 200 million doses. And they're negotiating another round for 300 million Pfizer doses. And so they'll be arriving by the end of next month and then the next tranche by early summer. In the last tranche by the end of summer. If you double that down with what we see with Moderna, that would be potentially 600 million doses. Obviously, you need two doses, but you can see we can virtually get everybody vaccinated if that trend line stays true, if the supply chain stays true. And Pfizer felt very confident that they'd be able to get that delivered. And along the way, as you know, Johnson & Johnson, J&J, they're going to get their emergency authorization, we'd like to think, within a week or two. And that could be yet another accelerant in terms of what we've got to do going forward. The other thing Pfizer said, which I think was interesting, it's mRNA, which tricks your system, as we described before, in terms of creating the antibodies. So you can have a computer file sent to Pfizer that gives you an idea of what the nature of the variants are, say in the Northeast or in Connecticut. And very soon off of that computer file, they'll be able to computer design a very customized vaccine for say the South African variant or whatever the type of a variant maybe gets prevalence here in this region. So you get an idea of how the vaccinations are keeping up in terms of volume, or hopefully getting ahead of the variants in terms of volume, and how they're able to specialize the hardware going forward, going back. This chart is interesting. This is the online chart. You can get that. You can cursor over it. You can see where your town is. I think I told you that we're over 50% of people over the age of 75 have gotten vaccinated. You know, maybe a little bit easier in some of the small towns where everybody can go online, you can drive through. A little tougher in some of the cities, no question about it. But you can see that places like Stamford and Norwalk have done very well, close to our, statewide average in terms of 75 and over who have gotten vaccinated. We've tried to address this, though. We worked very closely with CVS. Originally, they were locating the CVS pharmacies to do vaccinations, often in the suburbs. We've also now got Bridgeport, New Britain, and Waterbury. So we're making a big effort to make sure that we bring the vaccines to you. I had a good morning in Waterbury with my friend Neil O'Leary the other day. They are catching up fast. Their local Department of Public Health are reaching out, bringing people to the magnet school there. Obviously, they've got the online. They've also got a 211 and 311 telephone number you can call to get help. And contrary to my whole mentality about not inline, online, people can come in and file in person, and they have coaches there to help you do that. That's how Waterbury is going to be catching up in the 75 and overs. I can tell you, in some of the, you know, most of the local health departments are doing a very good job. Some need a little bit of extra help. Deirdre can tell you that in some of these cities, we're going directly to the healthcare providers, getting them the support they need, so that makes it a little easier to get people vaccinated, and that will allow us to move to the next category very soon. So we're finishing up the 75 and above group. They should be essentially done, 85% or so. I'd like to think by the middle of February, I'd like to think we'll have some good news in terms of scheduling for the next category, 65 and above, probably in the next week, 10 days. So that's coming up pretty soon. Anyway, if you're 75 and over, you're still waiting, there's the hotline to call, 877-918-2224. You can do VAMS, get your grandson to help you figure out how to get on VAMS and do it online. We're going to be rolling out additional retail facilities like Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, making it easier for you. Go to 211. We'll direct you to how to sign up to get your appointment at CVS when that time is right. Plug in your zip code. You'll be figuring out how to get that done. Hey, with that, let me just take your questions and send the tough ones to Josh and Paul and Deirdre. Thanks.
News 8.
Good afternoon, everyone. Governor, you talked about just a moment ago, the supply chain and a lot of different possibilities. With all the places that people can go in the state to get vaccinated, with the news you received from Pfizer, does it seem like it'll quickly catch up? In other words, if you have a lot of places but few vaccines, doesn't do you any good. If you have all these places people can be vaccinated, and all of a sudden the vaccines are available, then it changes everything completely, right?
That's absolutely right. We've got the capacity to vaccinate 10 times as many people as we've got now. Down in Waterbury, they're getting whatever it is, maybe 100 a day, and they could do 10 times the amount. They are ready to go. But the good news is, 65, that cohort, pretty soon we want to get more into essential workers, more in the broader category. We're going to be able to open up that aperture, and I'd like to think we're going to see a bigger supply of vaccines. And we'll have more certainty on that in the next 2 to 3 weeks. That was the confidence we got.
There was some speculation that there might be an announcement as soon as today about 65 and above, and it being maybe within the next couple of days to schedule. So was that just wrong to speculate, or is it still on target in your mind when that age group can start to make their reservations.
Yeah, we had always thought 65 and above was going to be towards the end of this month, the end of February. I think we're getting that a little bit faster, but we're not going to be able to tell you that with certainty for another week or so.
Friend, we've kind of seen that for a couple of weeks now.
We don't. We are asking the CDC, and we're trying to look into what that discrepancy is. So we don't have a clear answer on that yet. They do have a higher number than we do. We're pretty confident in our number, though. It could be a function of when the data is pulled on a given day, but we're continuing to look into that.
Thank you.
Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
Yes, this question also might be for Josh as well. You know, the three-week forecast from the White House could be the solution to the overbookings that we saw this week, but do we know when those forecasts will start, and should we expect to see more of these postponements until then?
Yes, so on the White House call, the governor was on a couple days ago. They did share with us that the forecast we have for next week, we can count on for the future weeks as well, as a minimum. So maybe it'll increase further, but they said you can at least count on that number. So that's very helpful in terms of us being able to provide, you know, better headlights for our providers about what they can expect, which we are doing. I don't think, as we've discussed before, I think, you know, the communication with our providers overall has been excellent. When they reach out to us, if they do have any challenges, we're usually able to help them. We've had a couple cases, as has been documented, where that communication was not as good as it should have been. But we do think those cases will be few and far between going forward.
You know, the goal was to get everyone who was bumped by the storm vaccinated by Sunday, and that was around 10 to 15,000 people, correct? And we are good to go with them?
Yes, we're on track to have storm canceled appointments caught up by the end of the weekend.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Connecticut Public Media.
Hi, Governor. It's Jeff Cohen. You mentioned the Super Bowl earlier. I'm wondering if you got any requests to extend restaurant hours specifically related to events like the Super Bowl and Valentine's. These are events that naturally bring a lot of people out. And if I'm curious if that was part of the discussion at all. And secondly, do either of those things or extended hours cause you any greater concern from a public health perspective?
Well, as you know, Jeff, we extended the hours from 10 to 11 o'clock for restaurants, did that in time for Super Bowl Sunday. But look, saw what happened after Thanksgiving, saw what happens in and around Christmas and New Year's. I want to make sure that Super Bowl Sunday, it's a great event. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm cheering for the old guy, obviously. But that said, we got to make sure it's also an event that we handle cautiously and make sure it doesn't create a spike up. The trend lines are so positive right now.
Because this was a burning situation here in the state, and now it's come around again. The General Assembly in Connecticut looking at maybe, and the governor looking at maybe saying something concrete next week in his budget address or around there as to whether or not recreational pot will now become the law of the land in the state. Dr. Kevin Sabat joins us. He's from the group Smart Approaches to Marijuana. They say they are preventing another big tobacco. They call themselves a bipartisan partnership working with local, state, and federal legislators to create policies that decrease marijuana use. Dr. Sabat, Paul here once again at WICC. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. What do you folks hear there at your Virginia headquarters around the Beltway? What do you hear about what we're doing here in Connecticut? I know you're watching pretty much all the states here, but what are you handicapping from afar as to what may happen here? What do you hear?
Well, we're pretty concerned, but the good news is the governor doesn't have the final say on this. So whether he wants to do it or not is sort of, obviously it helps if he does or doesn't, but mm-hmm. the legislature will have the final say. And we don't think this is going to go through this year. We have seen New Hampshire reject it as well. New Hampshire just roundly rejected legalization. And so we're kind of seeing Connecticut maybe going that same route.
Really? I don't doubt what you're hearing, but, you know, the buzz I get here, and maybe that's because I'm awash in all this here. Everybody is saying, you know, the time is right, the time is right, the time is right. But maybe the time is right doesn't mean it's going to work.
Well, that's what I think people are saying. Some people are saying the time is right, but then they sort of peel back the onion and they see the fact that the budget is going to be pennies in terms of the revenue versus the costs and versus, you know, the whole budget of the state. It's really a drop in the bucket. Then they notice the increased car crashes and stone driving, and we don't have a good test to deal with that yet. Then they realize the issues with kids' brains. You know, today's marijuana is so much more harmful than it used to be. So it's kind of strange to say we're pro public health when it comes to one pandemic like COVID, but on the other hand, say we want to legalize marijuana, because that's not pro public health at all.
Dr. Sabat, I'm glad you touched on a couple of things I want to get a little bit deeper into. And one is the strength of the marijuana and the fact that I know you warned us about this when we talked to you a couple of times early last year. The commercialization of this and how, now I don't know whether that would happen here in Connecticut, but how Big Tobacco, they're saying, well, hey, why don't we get a piece of this? Talk a little about that.
Yeah, and Big Tobacco has seen its revenues plummet because cigarettes are so much less popular than they used to be. And then the whole vaping issue, all the poisonings, even though 80% of vaping had to do with marijuana vaping, not tobacco vaping, it still has hurt the vaping reputation generally. So tobacco sees its revenues plummeting, and it needs another source of money. And they're looking at marijuana. And I'm just very wary of a new, industry of the tobacco industry coming in and, you know, once again, lying to the American people about the harms. But they've invested billions and billions of dollars in the marijuana industry. They want to get in on it. They know that they have a similar sort of product and product line that makes sense for them to get in on it. And so they're very eager to do so. And that worries me.
Do you have a continued fear, Dr. Sabat, that just the way cigarette manufacturers over probably the span of about 100 years or so tweak their product with flavoring, with nicotine and things like that, are the chemists going to do, if Big Tobacco gets their foothold here, would they do the same thing with marijuana?
I worry that they would. And they're already talking about doing that. And they're already talking about how to, add things to make it more potent. And that, frankly, when any regulatory body has ever tested some of this stuff, it often doesn't even have the levels of THC it says it has. It has way more. It often is a problem with regards to the heavy metals and pesticides and molds. You know, regulated does not mean safe. It doesn't mean that we really know what's in any of it. So, it's kind of this mirage. And actually, on April 20th of this year, I have my new book, my first book in about 8 years coming out. It's called Smokescreen, What the Marijuana Industry Doesn't Want You to Know. And in Smokescreen, I talk with former regulators of different states. I talk to people who have left in disgust because they thought they were doing the right thing by helping a state regulate that had decided to legalize marijuana. But in reality, they were hampered by all kinds of problems, and by mainly the industry influence and the cronyism that's going on. So it's a very corrupt industry. We don't really know what's happening. It still has one foot in the illegal world. I don't think this is a good time for any state to be legalizing this stuff.
Dr. Kevin Sabat is the guest, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. The website, by the way, learnaboutsam.org. Run it all together, learnaboutsam.org. Yeah. Dr. Sabat, I hear this all the time, good-naturedly from people. We just had a good discussion about this for a couple of hours. Well, we have alcohol, so why not marijuana? And your response to that is?
Well, that's like saying our headlights are broken, so why not break our taillights, too? alcohol is not an example to use. Alcohol is a very different cultural background. We've been using alcohol in Western civilization, the vast majority of Western civilization, for 5,000 years or more, which is a very long time. That train has left the station. Right now, we have a chance to decide what we want to do with marijuana. Do we want a policy that discourages it? I don't want to put kids in prison, by the way. I don't want to give them a criminal record. I absolutely want social justice, but we don't have to legalize and commercialize the drug to do that. So we have a choice now. Why would we treat it like another substance that frankly causes so much harm, alcohol? And much of that harm is because it's legal, because more people use it than any other drug of all drugs combined, because of its popularity. Why do we want to make marijuana that popular? That doesn't make sense. Again, unless you're in the industry and you want to make money.
Is it not true, and maybe it's not every state, Dr. Sabat, but is it not true that almost invariably the states that have gone ahead with legalization have seen at least a temporary spike in automobile accidents?
They have. They've seen a spike, and for some of them, it's an ongoing spike. And they're seeing a huge problem with stone driving because people sometimes think they can drive better, but they're driving way worse. They have very little concentration. Their ability to have, quick thinking, quick moving reflexes all goes down the tubes. We're also seeing kids' brains being harmed. We're seeing kids come to school more stoned because they think it's legal for them, even though it's not legal for them, even in the legal states. Kids don't make that distinction. So we're seeing a lot of these harms that I'm very worried about.
The other thing, Dr. Sabat, that I'm worried about as well is, and I think we're seeing this from what I read in Massachusetts in particular and in California, some of these states, and I don't doubt Connecticut would do this, trust me, lived here all my life, they see this as the golden goose, and they will levy tax after tax after tax on to two and three levels. And you're going to get somebody, Dr. Sabat, who doesn't want to pay all those taxes and is just going to become a secondary market for people who can afford to pay the taxes per bud and for the chaff and for all the other stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the underground market is thriving in these places because a lot of people do not want to pay the tax. They'll go to the same people they've been going to, and they won't have a problem. So why would they go to the legal market? Instead, you're increasing the illegal market when you legalize because you're basically saying that it's okay, and so you're increasing the demand, and much of that demand still goes to the illegal side, not the legal market.
Finally, is there any state that the ones that you watch there at SAM, is there any state that, I know you're not happy they're doing it, but is there any state that really, if they're doing it, they're doing it with the most safeguards? Is there one or two states that's not doing it crazily, but is doing it as close to right as possible?
Well, Vermont resisted this for a long time, and then they passed it. The governor did not sign it, but it still went into law. And they are really dedicated to try and making it not commercial and to limit potency, for example. So I'm at least heartened by that. In Colorado, it's been so bad that we now have a very large contingent of people pushing back to try and put a potency cap on some, because there's no reason why we need 99% potent, these shatters and wabs that are out there that are just. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Regular smoked marijuana from 10 years ago was an average of 5% potent. Now we're seeing 99%. So we do see some states trying to push back against the industry, but it's very hard. Let's be honest. I mean, if we wanted to put an alcohol tax on right now or even something with tobacco, we know how hard it would be because of the industry and the special interest groups. So I am worried about all that.
If Connecticut goes ahead, Dr. Sabat, and does this, and we would have you on, obviously, during the process before this happened, but would you then urge the General Assembly here, and I know some of them listen to this program, it gets back to Hartford, would you at least urge them to make sure that the state or local people are the ones actually doing the growing? Stay as far away as you can from the corporate entities?
Well, I would absolutely say that, but it's very, very hard to do that because the problem is they just have a foothold and they have so much, they're able to be a lot cheaper and more attractive to state regulators because they're so large, ironically. So it's very hard to say, let's limit this to people in Connecticut. Trust me, they'll just hire someone in Connecticut and 2 months later, they'll be a resident and then they'll say they're from Connecticut. I mean, it's really unfortunate the way this is happening.
The website learnaboutsam.org, learnaboutsam.org. Dr. Kevin Sabat has been the guest. That's the website for the Smart Approaches to Marijuana Group. And Dr. Sabat, thank you. We'll talk to you down the road, and we will have you on when your book comes out. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Dr. Kevin Sabat there, folks. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Smart Approaches to Marijuana. They say that they're an organization opposed to marijuana legalization and commercialization. SAM describing itself as a bipartisan partnership that works with local, state, and federal legislators to create policies to decrease marijuana use. Learn about SAM.org.